Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with FBI Executive Assistant Director Gary Bald. Also joining us in our conversation is Richard Scott. Gary, when Americans think of counterterrorism, they remember the events of 9/11. How has this event impacted your operations?
Well, it's been a dramatic change for us in our operations. As a result of 9/11, I think collectively in the United States government, but in particular in the FBI, we realized that success against terrorism requires the collection of relevant pieces of information to the extent permitted, of course, by our laws, but also the need to minimize the collection of extraneous data. It also has focused us on the need to have effective analysis that informs our national leaders and strategically focuses both our law enforcement and intelligence community resources. And we need to have all of that come together and permit us to take action in sufficient time to disrupt terrorist plotting. So the process really has to be carried out in complete cooperation between the domestic and international partners, and we need to reduce the geographic and jurisdictional seams which are exploited by terrorists. Our whole process has to be done in a way that takes into consideration an appropriate level of information sharing that permits coordinated actioning of the information, but we need to do our best to minimize the leaks of information that may alert terrorists to our efforts, you know, make disruption of their activities more difficult. Since 9/11, we've taken a number of steps that have changed the way we do business in the FBI. I'll give you a couple examples. We've increased the number of our joint terrorism task forces dramatically. We now have 103 of them around the country. We've created field intelligence groups in every field division, which better support our operations. We've centralized the management of counterterrorism operations back in Washington, D.C., instead of the decentralized approach that we took when prior to 9/11. We've also done, a fairly good job of increasing our emphasis on partnerships and increased our international presence so that we're better able to take the fight to the terrorists and to take advantage of our international partnerships. We created the Directorate of Intelligence to ensure that the development of our analytic cadre and our analytic processes will guide our future operations and to ensure that effective sharing of information with our customers is the norm. We also have developed technology that effectively supports our operations. And overall, I'd say that 9/11 gave us the tools to allow us to disrupt terrorist planning at an earlier stage.
In order to achieve your mission, it seems the FBI must strengthen three inextricably linked core functions: intelligence, investigations, and partnerships. Can you tell us how you're strengthening each of these functions?
Yeah, well, there are many steps that are underway in this regard. A couple of them come to mind. First is analysis. The FBI has always been a strong collector of information, but we've not always been analytically strong. And we've greatly increased our analytic cadre, having hired about 1,000 analysts over the last 2 years. And I might add about 40% of whom hold advanced degrees. We've also put in place an infrastructure that blends and improves our analysis and collection capabilities. The next stage of this process is to have our intelligence focus our operations rather than just informing our operations and to produce efficiencies in our operational efforts. I don't think we're too far away from being able to realize this goal. It's something we've been working on for a number of years. I think we have moved greatly in the direction of effective sharing with our partners. We participate in many partnership arrangements with the law enforcement and intelligence communities, and in fact, they form the backbone of our daily operational activities. We've implemented a policy that requires us internally to share by rule and withhold by exception, but there are significant technical and financial challenges to get to where we need to be in information sharing. They include the need to manage and share data that ranges from unclassified to top secret. I think we're moving in the right direction in that regard. We also have several technological solutions that I hope to pilot shortly that will increase our efficiency in sharing with state and local law enforcement. And finally, I just mentioned the tremendous need that we have to greatly expand our national security training. There are several initiatives that we have underway to assess our current training state, but also to develop the capabilities and capacities we need as we go forward. And we're looking to develop a complete suite of orientation, basic, and advanced training to sustain our national security capabilities throughout the careers of our personnel.
Gary, can you describe to us the factors that have had the greatest operational and organizational impacts at the FBI and within your department?
The greatest factors would be advances in technology and the impact that they have on the emergence of a more complex threat environment. And then probably I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the budgetary constraints that we are working under. But advances in technology have led individuals to be able to act in coordinated ways previously confined to state actors. Now terrorists and intelligence operatives communicate via complex encryption techniques. They share design concepts for weapons of mass destruction on the web, and they create virtual environments for training terrorists. And generally, although the web has been very beneficial to us in society for a large number of reasons, the web is also now used to facilitate criminal espionage and terrorism operations in ways that continue to challenge our law enforcement and intelligence efforts. The threat environment has changed as well. Our national security threats that we now face have become much more asymmetrical. The actions of hostile intelligence services are much harder to detect and include cyber attacks. Our enemies are now as likely to be like-minded individuals as they are nation states, as we experienced in years past. And the terrorism threat is transformed into a concern for homegrown radicals that are facilitated through the advances in technology and the web and the greater ability to communicate between individuals. And then on the budgetary issues, the impact and pace of progress is largely constrained by budgetary capabilities. Organizational change is expensive. The cost is compounded when the threat changes or morphs. And as the nation goes through financial challenges like Katrina, the budget process is affected in ways that slow the funding for organizational changes and improvements in ways that we really just can't control. But we continue to improve every day.
Having said that, what is your forecast for counterterrorism? We assume it's a growing area, but please share your perspective. What kind of threats should the U.S. be most aware of, and how is your office involved?
Well, years ago, the predominant threat came from state sponsors of terrorism, but today's threat comes more from transnational terrorist groups, like-minded extremists, and what we refer to as lone wolves. And this will probably continue for the foreseeable future. Generally, United States-led counterterrorism efforts have disrupted but not eliminated al-Qaeda's centralized command, control, and financial capabilities. But there's no doubt that it remains a dangerous group, and no doubt that it remains intent on attacking Western nations, including the United States. But at the same time, members of the broader, like-minded jihadist movement continue to carry out terrorist attacks overseas and continue to target Westerners and are also intent on targeting us here in the homeland. The July 2000 London bombings highlight a threat posed by homegrown terrorists who already live in, possibly grew up in, and are radicalized inside the countries that they seek to attack. Here at home, we also need to remain vigilant in groups like Hamas and Hezbollah, who use the United States to facilitate their terrorist activities around the world. Beyond international terrorism, we also need to remain focused on domestic extremists who pose an increasing threat as they become more violent here in the United States. And in general, I'd say the public needs to continue to be alert to what's going on around them and report any suspicious activity that they see to their nearest police department or Joint Terrorism Task Force.
To hone in on counterterrorism, can you tell us about the Joint Terrorism Task Force? What other agencies collaborate on this task force, and how is it used to battle against terrorism?
The Joint Terrorism Task Forces are the operational component of the United States government in its war on terrorism within the United States. As I mentioned earlier, we have about 103 joint terrorism task forces throughout the country that are run by the FBI and staffed by special agents, analysts, and task force officers from not only the FBI, but many state and local law enforcement organizations and other federal agencies. Members of the Joint Terrorism Task Forces all hold high-level security clearances and have access to intelligence community and law enforcement databases. Because of their joint nature, joint terrorism task forces provide a really strong fusion point for terrorism information and play a critical role in coordinating counterterrorism operational activities. And there are hundreds of departments and agencies represented on the joint terrorism task forces around the country. Couldn't mention them all because literally their focus is in localized jurisdictions, and there are hundreds and hundreds of them. But those agencies dedicate some of their best investigators and analysts to our important mission. And through this continued partnership, I think we've done a great job of blending intelligence and actioning of intelligence to keep us safe.
What is your forecast on counterintelligence? What are the most desirable U.S. targets of foreign intelligence services?
Although the impact of terrorism is arguably more immediate and visible, espionage and foreign intelligence activity is no less a threat here to us. Many countries consider the United States to be their primary intelligence target, and foreign countries are becoming increasingly more sophisticated in their techniques that they use against us. Some of the key areas that we're concerned about are the proliferation of chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and high-energy explosives information and technology, the penetration of the United States intelligence community and of United States government entities and contractors is of equal concern to us, And I'd say the other key area in counterintelligence would involve the concern for compromise of our critical national assets, which we define as any information, policy, plan, technology, or industry that, if stolen or modified, would seriously threaten the United States' national or economic security.
Along this theme, Gary, I understand that theft of intellectual property and technology by foreign parties or governments is an increasing problem. How are you stopping economic espionage?
Well, critical government-supported national research and development initiatives need to be protected. And to do this, we again turn to our partnerships, and we identify the U.S. government entities and contractors that may be of interest to foreign services and form a strategic partnership with those companies and government departments. This leads us to the early detection of hostile efforts and helps us to develop operations that would disrupt those foreign collection activities.
Great. How is the FBI reengineering processes and updating its organization? We will ask Executive Assistant Director Gary Bald to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.